One of the people who is a real believer in the Exodus program is a woman by the name of Rosana Rosado. She's a journalist who has made an enormous difference in New York City media over the last 20 years, most notably by publishing the Spanish-language newspaper El Diario La Prensa. But over the last 4 years, she's become a volunteer and a consultant with the Exodus program. We invited her to give us a bit more context as to what re-entry back into society is really like for those people who are leaving prison. She joins us now in our studios in West Harlem. Welcome back to Latino USA, Rosana.
Thank you.
You have just been recently appointed by the governor of New York State to be part of the New York State Council on Community Reentry and Reintegration. In fact, you're heading up this council. You hope to make a big change in terms of reentry in New York. Why is reentry such a big issue for you?
I really believe in redemption, in second chances. I believe that if we have, as a society, decided a long time ago that, you know, this is the number of years in prison, that is the punishment for this crime, that if we accept that all that is valid, then the moment someone is released, there should be a blank slate.
What, in fact, are the basic challenges facing someone who's getting out of prison?
Well, you know, there are three essential things that people need, you know, when they get released from prison, or that are the challenges to success. And it's housing, it's employment, and it's family support. So, you know, those three challenges are challenges for anyone coming home from the war or anyone coming back from college, right? Employment, housing, and support.
You like to make these comparisons about saying it's not just people getting out of prison. It's, in fact, it's as if you finish college, you've been gone for 4 years. It's as if you went and you served and you've been. You like to make the issue of having been in prison something that is not as shocking, is something tangible. Do you do that on purpose? Because,
well, I think I do that intuitively because it's the way it is. I mean, there are parallels, except this is a situation where incarceration is the deconstruction of a human being. There are scientists who have measured how many decisions we make in a day, for example, something like 35,000 decisions we make in a day. So we decide we're going left or right, or we're going to eat this or that. And for someone who's in prison, it's like 125 decisions they make a day, because decisions are made for them. It's, you know, it's prison. It's incarceration. It's kind of a deconstruction of all that makes you human. So that when people are released from prison, we have to reconstruct. They come back, they don't know how to take the subway, they've never seen a cell phone.
One of the markers for a lot of people around reentry is recidivism. It's, well, that seems to make sense. Like, if it's working, it means that they're not going back. And you say recidivism.
Well, you know, it makes sense, but it's only one thing. So, for example, I have a guy who's been out of prison for 5 years. They're off parole. They have they're getting their voting rights back. They're employed. They have a job where they don't have health insurance. They're still in transitional housing. We have guys who've been out for 6 to 8 years and are still in transitional housing. So they go from one program to the other, because I don't have to tell you how hard it is to find housing in New York. There are other barriers when it comes to housing. Their wife or their mother or their family who could house them live in public housing. You know, it's a federal mandate. They're not, you know, if you're a felon, you're not allowed to go to live in public housing. So there are all these barriers when you think about finding a place to live. So if, in my opinion, if you've been out of prison for 5 years and you still don't have a place to live, then I don't consider that a successful reentry.
This country has the highest percentage of people behind bars, and it's only growing, and the fastest growing group of people behind bars is Latino. Then what's the bigger picture?
A lot of Latino leaders in leadership, and I'm talking about both electeds and other leaders across the country, they don't want to own this issue. And sometimes I just want to scream and say, who do you think is in prison? But for me, the big picture is, A, that this is our issue, this is a Latino issue, and this is a family issue. When people start the conversation with quotes about recidivism, I'm like, okay, let's take this in another direction. I want to tell you the story about this young man who I met at Sullivan County 7 years ago, and he said to me that he grew up across the street from the Bronx Zoo. So he would look out his window and he would see people going into the Bronx Zoo. And he always wondered what was going on beyond those gates. And Maria, when I was driving home, I was in tears, because I thought, how messed up are the adults in this 8-year-old's life when nobody could take him by the hand and walk him across the street to the zoo.
You want to make this into a human story, but there are numbers behind it as well. So share that number.
There's a report that just came out a month ago. So Jeremy Travis, who's the president of John Jay College of Criminal Justice, wrote the report that was put together by a committee, and it came out of the National Academy of Sciences. So it's very serious, very, very data-driven. An African-American male born in the 1940s who dropped out of high school had a 15% chance of being incarcerated for at least a year before reaching the age of 35.
Okay, so that was 15% chance.
15% chance. For an African-American male born in the 1970s, during the prison buildup, if he was a high school dropout, that probability increased to 68%. Going to prison is now a high probability life experience for a black high school dropout. What does this say for the future of our country? And when I say black in this country, when you say black, it's everybody who's not white. So we're there. Latinos are in there, in that number when you look at that.
For all of your work, Rosana, thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you.